Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Better Series podcast. I'm James Lee. You know, Mark Twain quoted a friend when he said that everybody complains about the weather, but no one does anything about it. That's also true about the fast pace of marketplace and social trends. Our guest today is one of the people who can actually help us figure out what trends we need to pay attention to and how to take advantage of them. Eric Qualman is a best-selling author and a highly sought-after speaker who is one of the early pioneers of harnessing social media and social trends for business. Chances are, if you play around on the internet, you've seen Eric's Did You Know video series that has racked up millions of views on YouTube, or his series of best-selling books, especially 2012 Socialnomics. Eric's been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, he's fresh off a book tour in Europe, and he joins us today from Austin, Texas. Eric, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's an honor to be here with you and your listeners. Thank you.
So you started Socialnomics and Did You Know a few years before you actually wrote the book as a video series, as I recall. What was it that caught your eye about what was changing in society and the marketplace that prompted you to sort of go down that path?
And to help set the stage for the audience, at the time, everyone talked about search, so organic search and paid search, primarily on Yahoo, Bing, and Google. And since I was head of marketing at Travelzoo, we spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on search. So that's primarily what I would talk about at a search conference. And then I saw social media from the lens of 18 to 22-year-olds. And I also started to dabble with MySpace from a business perspective. And it just hit me like this was the next thing. We're social animals by nature. And I just started to realize, whoa, this is going to change the way we do everything from government to business to how we live to how we communicate. And I thought everyone could see that. But when I was talking to whether it was our board or whether it was at a conference, I quickly realized that everyone thought that social was just for teenagers. And I go, no, we're all social animals. And so long story longer, I realized that not everyone was getting it. And to help me do it, rather than speak for an hour, I realized I need to just put a video together that hits them directly in the eyes to where they'll sit up straight and go, got it, I'm listening. What are we talking about here?
Well, you've been doing that for mumble years now. The 2019 version, I've got a couple of favorite stats from that. You'll have more conversation with chatbots than with your spouse by 2020. Now that's next year. So let's talk about that in a second. Some in college today have never licked a postage stamp, which is scary for those of us of a certain age. And if social media communities were countries, the largest country in the world would be Facebook. You wouldn't get to a nation state until you got to China, and that would be the fifth largest. India would be the sixth, and the U.S. would be ninth. So over the years that you've been watching these trends, what is it that surprises you the most, and what are your favorite of these statistics?
The one that surprised me the most is speed. Just speed, 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 and how quick this stuff is changing. And it's just going, when you think about quantum computing that's coming up, or just the hyper-acceleration. We really live in an exponential era. So that's really, to me, the speed. Because the first one, I think MySpace was listed as the top social site. It might have been the fourth largest country. So when you think about now, you have President Zuckerberg, quote unquote, of his country of Facebook, is just more the speed of change. And then there's some things that are a little slower. So some stuff in the book of Socialnomics come to fruition. And the other surprise is like, whoa, that moved way faster than I thought. And other stuff moving a lot slower than we'd anticipate. And my favorite stat for your question is in the new video, the number one hashtag used is love. And so when we see this news, historically, it's always been the case. If it bleeds, it leads. But even more so, you've got this news that's quite negative. And so that's what people watch. So that's what, you can't blame the media. That's what they're going to put out there is what people watch. But my favorite stat is that the number one hashtag is love.
What's behind that? I mean, that's really interesting. What do you think drives that?
What drives, if you look at the data, So I was a big fan of when you're trying to predict the future, the best thing to do is kind of be an archaeologist, is it's usually the same movie, just different actors, is that what's behind it is if you look at the studies that show, hey, what causes people to live to be 100 years old? What's the number one commonality that people that live to be 100, what do they share? And it turns out the number one commonality is that they have a good social set of friends. So just humans by our nature, we're social animals. So when you think about hashtag love, is that whether it's digital or whether it's face-to-face coffees and lunches, that's what we're all seeking. And so it makes sense to me that's why that's the most used hashtag.
Now, if you're trying to divine a hashtag, you know, every time I post something somewhere on LinkedIn or Twitter or something, I struggle most about the hashtag. Is there some sort of learning in that, what you just told us, that we should think about when we're doing hashtags?
Yeah, you should always use the data that's available. You don't have to be super technical to do this. You can go to either this tool itself. So Instagram made it easier. If you're using Instagram, when you start typing in a hashtag, it'll basically show you the most popular one. And so it doesn't mean you should always pick the number one hashtag. So I know you're a huge baseball fan. So the number one hashtag might be baseball. But really what you want to do is pick the hashtag that's the most niche for your audience so you can stand out. So it might be, when you think about it, it might be Washington Nationals. Or it might be even more specific if it's Wash Nats or Nats pitchers, whatever, or Nats salary cap. Is so they'll pop up the hashtags as you type it in. And so you want to pick the, what I call kind of not the A-list hashtags, but the B-list, the niche ones. And again, a lot of these tools can help you out. You can use a tool like Google Insights. And this is what we talk about socionomics. When you think about back when Barack Obama was running against Hillary Clinton, is they didn't know if the sign should say Obama or whether the sign should say Barack. And what they noticed, if you went to Google Trends, is that the searches for Obama were 5-1 to Barack. And so then it made an easy decision. Let's make the sign say Obama.
Wow. That's good insight. Very helpful. Okay, so that's where we've been. That's where we are today. Where we're going. So what is it you're seeing that's just emerging that you think will be game changers in our business and personal lives? Let's say the next 3 to 5 years.
Next 3 to 5 years, here's what I'm not bullish on, blockchain. I've sat down with people who have written entire books on it, and when they can't explain it to me in 2 minutes to where I can really explain it then to someone in 60 seconds, then neither of us understand it enough. And so it's going to be big at some point, but not in the next 3 to 5 years. I think virtual reality is overhyped in the next 3 to 5 years. I am super bullish on artificial intelligence, AI, which if you asked me 15 years ago, I'd have laughed at you that that would be the case. But since we're already using it and we're becoming used to it, whether that's Alexa, whether you like the Siri, is that it's not a perfect tool, but you can see that it's a beneficial tool when it works correctly. So now we just need to work out the kinks around it. So those things I'm excited about. I'm excited about self-driving cars, but I think it'll take longer than people think, because even if the technology's there, you've got to understand in the United States that it's the number one job. And so it's not something that you're going to displace the number one job right away, even if the technology exists. And then last but not least, there's things in the book in socialnomics that haven't come to fruition, which you think about it, that's almost a decade ago. And it will happen. The question's not if, the question's when. And so mobile voting, probably not going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years inside the United States for sure, but might happen outside of the country first, when you think about mobile voting. And then the most important thing when it comes to socialnomics, and it hasn't happened, is the elimination of multiple individual redundancy. Meaning that if I want to go purchase a car because I just had my second baby and I need a cross SUV, is that I don't want to do all that research, which might take me hours and hours, especially since 10 of my friends have already done it, that have 2 kids, and they all bought 1 of 2 vehicles. Then I want to have that information when I do that search. So think about Google being completely disrupted, because when you think about Google, it's a broken tool in the sense that they make their billions of dollars because you click on a paid advertisement. And if they gave us the result that we needed, then we'd have that result right away and we wouldn't click on the paid. But when you think about Google, they'll evolve because they're great people. They're a smart company. And so they'll start giving us basically that social information of, hey, you want to buy that new car? Here's what your 10 best friends purchased. Oh, you need to know how to write a last will and testament? Here's who your 10 friends used. Here's what they paid. So it's a long answer, but you got me super excited about the future. And that's my thoughts.
Oh, those are all really interesting. I could dig into that for a while. I want to back up for a second, though, because you said something very interesting about AI. Because, you know, depending on who you talk to, you know, you've got the Elon Musks and the Steve Wozniaks on one side saying that we'll have Skynet and Terminators because of AI. And then on the other side, you've got people who, you know, the Google guys and Zuckerberg are all saying, no, AI is going to be great. But your answer alluded to the fact that AI is already here. Do you think people are aware of it? And is the best AI the kind we'll never see? Or is the best AI the kind that we will obviously rely on?
The best technology is always the technology you don't see, that it's just integrated into your life. And so the key with AI is that there's a need there, meaning that all of us, I think, would love the ability to just say out loud, I need a restaurant reservation Friday at this restaurant. And it just happens. So whether that's out loud and it goes to your watch, whether it's out loud and it's a contact lens, whatever that looks like, is that you want that ability, because you want to spend your time living your life, not doing stuff that artificial intelligence could do for you. And then when you think about the next step of that, it's really artificial intelligence understanding, hey, you just agreed to meet this person for coffee, or in this case, you just agreed to do a podcast. It automatically then sets up to the coffee. It automatically goes, hey, I'm going to set up the coffee at your favorite place at 10:30 because your schedule's open at 10:30, and you've already told me you prefer to meet for coffees in the morning on Fridays. And so that's where it's going to go. It can't happen soon enough for me. I don't think most of the world does grasp the concept of how this is going to change, mainly for the better, if it's done well, how artificial intelligence is allowing, going to give us hours and hours back to us so that we can use that to hopefully make society better.
Businesses who are using these tools well today, how are they using them? What are they doing? And what should businesses be doing if they're not using these tools today?
First of all, a lot of AI, what you should do is start it manually. And so there might be a technology play, but then on the back end, you're basically using your hands. It's a manual process, because what you want to do is you want to test to see if there's a need and if this works. So, for example, it could be, okay, we're going to look at the pipelines with the drone. So there's a big problem with these oil pipelines, because right now they manually fly out there and they try to figure out with footage and also manually looking if there's a leak in these pipelines, which costs money. It's bad for the environment. And so the capabilities there for a drone to fly over there and take these photos. And what you do when I say manual, at first you take all these photos and you manually have someone look at it. And then alongside it would be the technology to try to identify these leaks. And so in the short term, you might as a business say, yeah, we're AI, but really the only AI piece is really the drones taking the video, the images, and send it back to the house. And then it's all manual from there. But then when you see that that's working from the manual perspective, then you try to figure out artificial intelligence-wise, what can the artificial intelligence see and not see? And so maybe the AI can get to 90% of these big cracks, and then the rest of the 10%, say, for a human eye to look at and figure that out. So that's just one example in terms of the manual side of things. Companies that are doing things well today with AI is, an example would be law firms are starting to use Watson's tool. And what that does is essentially most of these contracts or these legal documents, they have like these blocks of text that are the same. And so what the AI does is they go, okay, this is boilerplate. It identifies the 90% boilerplate. So the AI goes through that. And then it goes, here's the 10% that you really need to look at that's different in this contract, because everything else is just standard boilerplate. Now, what that is allowed for is, before they'd have a paralegal or a junior lawyer would have to spend a week or two to go through those contracts. Now that allows for the AI to do that work, and now they can do it in a day instead of a couple weeks. And that's a win for that firm, and it's also a win for the client because it reduces costs.
We're coming to the end of our time, but I want to ask you one last question because, you know, one of your books, one of the bestsellers, was What Happens in Vegas Stays on YouTube. And that's, this may be too strong a statement, but it is kind of a cautionary tale about the personal and business reputation and what companies do online and how social media and other online activities affect that reputation. Is that something companies are paying enough attention to, and what should they be doing? What should they be thinking about if they're not paying attention to it?
They're not paying enough attention to it because I'll turn on the media and there'll be someone that made that mistake. And I love the word you use, reputation. So what the major shift is, when you think about privacy being dead, and make no mistake about it, privacy is dead. And the lawyers, both in Europe and also the U.S. and around the world, they're trying to put that genie back in the bottle, that privacy genie, but it's just almost impossible when you think about all these tools in a fully transparent world. So the major shift is a couple things. One, you mentioned reputation. And so really, historically, integrity and reputation used to be two different things. That's why there's two different words. And so you had integrity. That's what you stood for behind closed doors. And they had reputation. That's what the public perceived you to be. Now, in this day and age of fully transparent world, they're now one and the same thing, which is a glorious thing for almost everybody, except for the people that have not understood that and made adjustments to their behavior as organization and as companies. And I don't want to drag companies through the mud, but we have some examples in the book. And again, I could rewrite the book every year because every day there's someone that hasn't figured this out because it's a major shift societally when you think about that. And then last but not least, all of us need to understand that we have a digital stamp. And it's about producing and protecting that digital stamp because that has now become a de facto reputation. And that's comprised of two things, your digital footprint, that's what you upload about yourself, about your company, your brand, you have control over that. But more importantly is the secondary piece, and that's your digital shadow. That's what other people upload about you, your company, and your brand. And so what I'll ask all of your audience members as a good thought exercise, if you think about your digital stamp, my question to you, everyone out there, is if someone were to Google your name right now, someone just Googled your name, what's that one word you'd want to show up on Google 5 seconds from now, 5 weeks, 5 years, 50 years, 5,000 years from today? Because this is in digital ink. It's not in pencil. And really, these stamps can inspire people 5 seconds from now as well as 500 years from today. So it's really about making sure, like we always historically have had to, but now in a fully transparent world, it is a must. Is just lead your best life and inspire others.
That is a great, great piece of advice. So Eric Wallman, author, speaker, Detroit Tigers fan, thank you for joining us today. Thank you again for listening to the BBB National Program's Better Series podcast. You can hear more great episodes on iTunes or your favorite streaming platform. We'll be back soon with another episode to help you grow your business with the latest trends and information.
You just enjoyed the Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTL programs. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@BBBNP.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guest, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.